Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Cuts in on the right foot, launches a golazo!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, goal!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and brought to you in part by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, it's live. It's on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, Madison Cruz riding shotgun. We're going to take you through Atlanta United. We're going to take you through Lionel Messi leaving the Argentine national team. We're going to take you through the Georgia college scene with both the men's and the women's teams all underway right now. Who knows what else we'll get into. We got an hour. Anything can happen. What's up, Maddie? How are you?
Hanging out. I mean, you know, it's kind of nice, especially with the start of the college soccer season, actually getting like maybe a couple of days to like breathe a little bit, which is very shocking. But no, it's been a lot of fun. College soccer is one of my favorite times of the year. It's so much soccer. Plus with MLS, with MLS Next Pro, it's always fun. I mean, who doesn't like more soccer?
We'll get into all of the chaos on the college side in the next segment. There were some interesting stories that happened over the past week that we called live, and it was weird, and weird things happened. But that's what happens in college soccer sometimes.
Oh.
all kinds of things. We'll get into all that in the next segment. The Atlanta United game, sadly, Saturday wasn't all that weird. It wasn't all that good. Either Charlotte was good. You have to give them credit as much as it pains us. Alan Saint-Maximin was very, very good, and he kind of derailed everything for Atlanta United in this match. A 2-0 loss that felt like maybe more than that. Atlanta just never really got going. Charlotte's speed, I thought, was a really big factor in this. And just the fact that they started well and they got the payoff, and then Atlanta didn't have a whole lot of answers after that. Three-game winning streak dashed, and now Atlanta's got to go to Miami and try to start a new streak on Saturday. What'd you think about Charlotte?
Yeah, I listen, and again, we can obviously have our, you know, thoughts and how we feel about Charlotte, but I mean, they're a good team. There's a reason why they're fifth in the standings. I mean, they've put together what they do. I've always loved Biel. BL is one of my favorite players to watch, I think, in MLS, and I really like him. He was kind of silent in the game against Atlanta, I think a little more silent than I thought he would be, but you mentioned it, Saint-Maximin. I mean, took over. I think it's one of those games where you realize, okay, yeah, I think those reinforcements for Atlanta, you know, you want to start seeing them slowly get integrated. And I think seeing how this team's going to shape out, because it could look a little different from what we're seeing now. But it's just going to be a matter, I think, of getting those pieces together. And we'll find out when those pieces get put into place. But I think that match against Charlotte really showcased that. I thought there were good moments, I think, from Atlanta. But I think Charlotte was able just to take over. And once they did, there was no getting back on the train.
Yeah, I think the best moments were when you were down 2-0. And those don't have the same weight, in my opinion. You know,
yeah, like, I agree.
When you're down by that level, the other team's intensity level is going to drop a little bit. I thought Adrian Gill came off the bench and was very good. We got to see Enzo Dovolo for the first time, and I thought he showed that he can hang at that level. Tomas Akobe got lit up a little bit by St. Maximin. That's a tough matchup for him, and I think a big challenge that he'll learn from. You were missing Elias Baez in a big way. He was out due to yellow card accumulation. And you mentioned it, like, you're still waiting on Brelembolo, you're still waiting on Mauricio Amaro. Window closes tomorrow in terms of more incomings, and Atlanta United has been linked with Giuliano Galoppo from River Plate, who's going to leave River on loan, it sounds like. Kind of similar to the Matias Galarza situation in that River has more players right now under contract than they're currently using, and they'd like to not have that situation, and they have a lot of issues at the moment. So Galoppo is a possibility, but if he's going to come in and start the visa process, which, as we're seeing, has been kind of time consuming, they're gonna have to get it done by the end of the day tomorrow.
Yeah, it's hard and it's difficult. I wanted to go back to, I think, what you were talking about with Enzo Dovolo.
Yeah.
I think it's one as well. It's why when we talk about Atlanta United too, and we talk about the academy, we talk about those guys, this is why. I mean, you obviously saw it with Cooper Sanchez. I mean, we've talked about with Jay Fortune, Matt Gil. Edwards, Luke Brennan, Adrian Gill. Like, I mean, it's why when we say you need to pay attention, you need to pay attention to these guys. Enzo coming in, I thought it was a great game for him. I think you mentioned on the radio, and I completely agree with you, if you watched him with Atlanta United 2, his 1v1 ability in the last couple of games for the twos is outstanding. And in a matchup like that against a team like Charlotte, and on that side too, on Charlotte's right, you had a lot of space to work. And Enzo gave you that. Unfortunately, he gets brought in, I think, at a point where the game is kind of dipping a little bit. And especially too, when Charlotte's back, they're bunkering everybody in. So there's really not a whole lot, but I thought when Enzo came in, I thought he did a great job, I think, of showing what he can do. And I mean, again, Adrian Gill did it, and I think it's why you got to pay attention to the twos. And again, listen, you go up against a team like Inter Miami, and depending on what it looks like with reinforcements and what it looks like, who knows if we get some twos call-ups again. But I mean, Inter Miami's coming off a 7-1 win against Montreal, so they're trying to get back on the hot streak. They're feeling it. Atlanta's got to come in and destroy it.
Yeah, it's an interesting one on Saturday, and that's what's on tap. It's brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26. Atlanta heads to Miami this time, not Fort Lauderdale, to actual Miami. First time at New Stadium. That's what it's called. It's a sponsor in you. It's New Stadium. It's the new Stadium, however you want to, whatever jokes you want to get. Go ahead and get them all out this week. It's going to be interesting because this is not just an ordinary matchup against a really good team and the defending champions and all the different things that come with that. It comes on the heels of Lionel Messi announcing that he's retiring from the Argentine national team, and he's going to continue with Miami. He's under contract through the end of 2028, but it's been an emotional week, I think, for probably everybody around Miami with that news. It's been an emotional week for anybody in the game, but if you're Argentine specifically, it's huge. And Elias Baez was asked about it today, and it was kind of cool. Like, he talked about how when the news broke yesterday, he was at home. He saw it. He talked about how, you know, he knows it's been a hard time for Messi with everything that's happened with his family, his father passing away a few weeks ago. He said, "You can't ask any more of him. He did everything. He suffered for the national team. He suffered at his clubs." He said, "It's sad for all of us," and I think he was talking maybe specifically about Argentines, but probably really anybody who loves the game. For him, he said, you know, it's sad because he dreamed of playing with him one day. But he's grateful that Messi gave him and fellow Argentines a lot of joy winning the title, winning the World Cup in 2022. And he said definitely he wants to talk to him after the game because he's never had a chance to play against Lionel Messi. And I don't know if there's really a good comparison for this in our U.S. sports. I mean, I was talking to Lucas Ojos afterwards. We had an interview. You'll see the feature over at soccerdownhere.net here pretty soon. But, you know, there's maybe Michael Jordan, maybe. And I think it's different because national team play isn't the same in basketball as it is in soccer. So, yes, Michael Jordan, if you love basketball, it meant a lot to play with him or against him. But when you add the national pride into it, this is not just your average game for Elias Baez, for Tomas Acob, for Lucas Ojos, a veteran, but still somebody who, you know, was moved by Messi's career and Messi's announcement this week. That's going to be a storyline this Saturday, I think.
Huge storyline. I mean, not only, obviously, it comes right after the announcement is made, but I mean, for a lot of these guys, I mean, not even, I think everyone. I mean, like, Messi is a player that I think most every aspiring player, anybody, and players who are in the league currently now, we're in leagues, not even MLS and Liga, if Premier League, you look at a player and you know, yeah, who inspired you? Yeah, Lionel Messi. And I think the game against Inter Miami is going to have a lot of weight to it, I think, for those guys, because, you know, you get to play with them, especially coming off of that announcement. But, you know, this is a guy that I think really redefined what the game is, and I think really is a staple in that and huge part of that and huge part of a football culture in every sort of way. And it's gonna be weird. I know I saw the announcement and I was like, oh gosh. I was like, how's Jason doing? I was like, is he okay?
You know, it's funny, like, I'm kind of strange in all of this because, like, Maradona was my guy. That was why I fell in love with the game. But obviously, I'm an Argentina fan. So if you're an Argentina fan, you're going to have, I think, a special feel for a guy like Lionel Messi. I think somebody like Adrian Gill, like, who is not Argentine but played at Barcelona, where Messi is a god there. Like, he's going to have a different take on this than some other guys. But, like, for me, I knew it was coming at some point, and sooner rather than later. You didn't really know how it would have come down because he was so good this summer at 39. I mean, mind-bendingly good. He scored more goals and had more assists than he did at 35 when he won the World Cup.
You had thoughts, because I mean, I remember having conversations with you of like, all right, like, what do we think? Is this his last World Cup? Is he going to go for another one? Like, who knows? And even seeing the performance of what it was, I'm like, man, he could keep going for like another two World Cups at this rate.
The deeper he went into the tournament and kept playing at the level that he was, you start thinking, okay, well, he's under contract to Miami through 28. That would take you through the Copa America. Okay, that could make sense. Then, all right, then it's just two more years to the World Cup, right? You know, I mean, he could do it, right? I do think losing his dad is probably a little bit of a factor in this. His announcement, which was just kind of classic Messi, by the way, a handwritten note. His handwriting is,
I loved it.
Very nice. It was very,
I was saying the same thing. I saw it and I was like, wow. I was like, he's really good penmanship. I was like, this is really nice.
Very nice handwriting. There was one part where he wrote, basically, I'm translating it to, like, I think it's time to go. And then he crossed it out and he changed it to, I understand. Which was an interesting word choice, like little things like that. But he said he wrote it 2 days after the final, and he would have been in Rosario with his dad at that point. His dad passed not too long after that. And he said that everything that had happened kind of reinforced it, and he felt stronger about it. So, look, you're talking about one of the all-time legends, and it's not unexpected, but it's still, I mean, I turned it over to Teise, Argentine television, immediately, and it was just like such a fascinating mixture of celebration of what he did and his career and sadness, like someone had passed away and someone was leaving us, all rolled into one. I mean, you're talking about a guy who, like, if there's the right kind of idol for kids out there, it's Lionel Messi, in my opinion. And I mean, we could take that a million different routes. The one I'll take it right now for you is, this is a guy who had physical issues when he was very young, and that's why he ended up in Barcelona, because the club that he was at, Newell's Old Boys, didn't have the money to continue to pay for his growth hormone treatments. He was undersized to the point that this was prescribed. And Barcelona was willing to take a chance. He moves to Spain as a young kid, has to have a new life, has to deal with injecting himself with hormones, gets through that, has some injuries when he first gets to Spain, and he's the outsider. He's an Argentine kid in Spain. They look at him as Argentine. When he got pulled into the Argentine youth national teams, they looked at him as Spanish. He didn't win at first with Argentina. He won with Barcelona, but he didn't win with Argentina. He lost three finals, 2014 World Cup final, 2015, 2016 Copa America, both in penalties, the World Cup final in extra time. And he stepped away. He said, I can't do it anymore. It's too hard. It's everybody's killing me. Like, people were horrible to him in Argentina for a while because they didn't think he was truly Argentine. And he came back and he went on the greatest run I think that we've ever seen at the national team level, definitely in modern time. I think maybe Pelé and his run is what we're talking about, and it's hard to compare because of the competition. Yep. But he went on a run and carried that team to unprecedented heights. And if you have never had a chance to watch the celebrations when they landed back in Argentina after winning the World Cup in 2022, it'll take your breath away. I've never seen anything like it. We probably will never, ever again see anything like it. Every celebration that you think of with your favorite team pales in comparison to this. It was the wildest thing that I have ever seen. And he's going to be seen for the rest of his life in Argentina, borderline deity. Like, it's just on another planet. And if there's anybody who deserves that, for what he's done, not just on a field, but for a country, that's him. So this is the first game that he's going to play since that announcement on Saturday. We saw him for his first game with Miami in the Leagues Cup in 2023, and that did not go so well. I hope that Messi is very happy with his decision and very happy in general. And I hope maybe that he is very tired and takes it easy on Atlanta United on Saturday. We will see how it goes. 6:30 for pregame, 7:40 for kickoff. Atlanta United and Inter Miami on Saturday night. But when we come back, we're going to talk about college soccer. We got men's soccer. We got women's soccer. We got UGA. We got Mercer. We got Georgia State. Georgia Southern. We'll talk about everybody all over the state. More Atlanta soccer tonight to come on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Outdated automation doesn't have to slow you down. Graybar helps you identify risks, modernize strategically, and minimize disruption every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped the video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign you've got to get T-Mobile.
so many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Think about how much life has changed since 1991. Back then, you had to rewind the VHS tapes. Dial-up internet was a distant dream, and listening to your favorite hosts on demand wasn't even an option. Yet through all that change, Bob's Discount Furniture has kept doing things the Bob's way, offering incredible quality and modern features without inflating their prices. Look at the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa. It packs genuine leather, Bobapedic seating, built-in charging, and handy cup holders all into one setup for just $12.99. For dinner parties, the Homeworks dining set brings clever storage in both the table and bench, keeping your space organized and guests comfy for only $6.99. Plus, their best-selling Cascade bedroom set brings sophisticated reeded details, felt-lined drawers, and convenient USB ports in three stunning finishes. It's proof that top-tier style doesn't need a sky-high price tag. Stop in or shop online at mybobs.com to celebrate 35 years of top-rated style at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Back to our look at the world of soccer.
And Jason Longshore has it all covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Welcome back. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, Madison Cruz alongside. We got to talk about college soccer, and we have to start with, I think, the craziest night. Oh, is it the craziest ever? It's up there. I don't know if I want to commit to it being the craziest broadcast night that I've ever had. It's on the short list.
It was the craziest for me, I think, definitely in my career.
I've had a few delays that were long.
I don't know. This one, maybe it's like underneath that Atlanta United 2 game that we had.
Yeah.
Then we had to jump. That might be underneath it, but still crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely on the short list. It would be on the Mount Rushmore of crazy nights. Mercer doubleheader down in Macon. I guess I've become the voice of the Bears, kind of, sort of. I feel like we're calling Mercer games. I've called four since last Thursday. I've been to Macon three times. So we head down for a doubleheader, men's and women. Supposed to start at 5 o'clock with the men's match, and then the women were going to play at 7:30. Lightning in the area. Things get delayed by 3 hours. I think it started actually sort of close to on time. Then the craziest delay, this would actually apply, the craziest delay that we have ever had calling a game, a sprinkler delay, because, and it can be explained, games were supposed to be done by this point. So this was what, after 10 o'clock. So the games would have been done for 30 minutes or so if everything was on time. You got to water the field. Totally understand that. You have timers for these things. Totally understand that. Well, nobody changed the timer, and the sprinklers went off with 8 minutes and 30 seconds left on the clock. And they stayed on for 30 minutes? About? Yes?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we were counting.
Players were trying to, like, turn them, and, like, I mean, people were messing with them, and nothing was working.
Yeah, I think it got to a point where I started hysterically laughing on air.
Because we kept coming back from a break, and it's like, sprinklers are still going.
And it's not stopping, and it's not stopping. Like, listen, I need the whole video of just that sequence, because I need to see the failing of me and you trying to keep it together, and then we just didn't. Because it just got to a point where this is crazy.
Yeah, and then, so there was a whole other game after this. Like, finally,
there was.
Finally, the second referee was able to turn the timer off, which was great, and we got to finish the men's game. Finished, what, 10:40 or so? I think the women's game kicked off just before 11. And we were saying that we were worried the other set of sprinklers, because it was just the sprinklers on one side of the field, one touchline, one half. Okay, we're like, well, wait a minute. They're going to have to water the other side. They're going to come on at some point, aren't they? Yeah, they did. Twice. But luckily, they knew how to turn it off at this point, and they did. But we still had delays. We had reviews. We had all kinds of stuff. We walked out of the booth at like 1 in the morning. It was absurd. Absurd.
It was absolutely absurd. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. And unfortunately, on both of those nights, Mercer unfortunately lost in both of those games too.
Yeah, and I mean, you're just, everything's disrupted when you're dealing with that. And you know, I felt bad for both teams, and I think Mercer's women, honestly, it was twofold because Georgia Southern played really well, and you give them a ton of credit. Quinn Wilson's one of the best goalkeepers in the region right now, in women's soccer. I think she had another big game in their latest win. But she was amazing that night. Georgia Southern was very good. Mercer, as much as they were disrupted by all of the delays, I think they were also disrupted by looking ahead because they had number 17 Georgia come into town. And that's the first time in a long time that Georgia had played in Macon. Obviously, it's a big game for everybody involved. And I thought Mercer played really well against a team that's a top team in the country. 2-0 win for Georgia. You've seen Georgia many times this season already. What did you think of both Georgia and Mercer's performances?
Yeah, I think going in and seeing the matchup between Mercer and Georgia Southern, honestly, it felt like two styles of play kind of going against each other. Very similar styles, kind of just butting heads. And again, you add everything that happened. You add the match was completely pushed back to a point that nobody thought they would be playing. You add that to it, and it felt that way. When you go to then Sunday, I felt like actually the way that Georgia plays a little bit more, I would like to say, a little more possession-based. I feel like they like to have the ball at their feet more, and they like to build up. They like to build and press high and have the ball higher up the field, and they're comfortable doing that. They have center backs. They have a back line that is very comfortable doing that. And I felt like, you know, a Mercer team, this is a team that isn't afraid to go direct. They have the speed to do that. And I felt like that opened the game up more for Mercer because of the way Georgia plays. I felt like it was very even for a while. It felt really balanced on both ways. I thought defensively, obviously you look at the 2-0 scoreline for Mercer, but I thought defensively both back lines on both Georgia and Mercer were outstanding. And honestly, like for me, for Georgia, I mean, I think key to their success is going to be that back line. That back line is tremendous. And some young players on that team. Grayson Rogers was one that I think is a standout. She's a sophomore, I think, coming in. And I think Georgia's a team that I think, especially building forward, they're very well-rounded. And I'm very excited to see, especially you look ahead to Thursday, a really, really tough battle against Florida State over there back in Athens.
Yeah, 3-1-2 now on the season, Georgia. They lost last Thursday night in Fort Worth at TCU, who's a very good team. They fell to number 25 in one of the polls that came out today. We'll see where they slot in everywhere else. It's a tough one. Florida State, they had a bad loss to Florida earlier, but they're ranked number 16 in the country, so they're the defending national champions. Huge game. It's Thursday, 6:30 on ESPNU.
So we actually do have the updated ones. They are updated from August 30th. Right now, Florida State is 21st, and we have Georgia at 25 as of right now.
Okay.
Where things stand right now, obviously, when matches continue to kick off. But yeah, it's crazy. And then you got Vanderbilt, obviously still at number 3, and that's who Georgia plays on Sunday. Or that's who they play next Thursday. So, ooh, tough.
I think what's interesting in women's college soccer, and we've seen it with the polls so far this year, and there's a couple different polls that are out there, and they have more wide range in them than I think we see with football. Because when we think of polls in college, we think college football. And yeah, you might see a little bit of a difference between a couple polls. I feel like in college soccer, we see some wide ranges. And I think what we're learning this season so far, and it's kind of reinforced in another game on Sunday night down at Auburn, there's not huge gaps between teams that you would say are power fours and teams that you'd call a mid-major. Georgia State went to Auburn, 1-1 draw. It's a great result for Georgia State. They're 2-2-1 now. Auburn still undefeated. They're 3-0-2. And Georgia State came back to tie that one. Aaliyah Fadul with an equalizer in the 22nd minute, her seventh goal of the season in five games. Mercer played Georgia very tough out of the SoCon. You have some teams that I think there is a gap to them, but I don't think it's a big gap. And I think you can see on any given day, things can happen.
It's huge. And then I'm jumping from D1 to NAI over here, but I mean, getting the chance to go to Georgia Gwinnett for the first time this season as well. I got to see the men play. Right now, they're ranked five. They're ranked number fifth in the NAI right now, the poll where things stand right now. These haven't been updated unless I am looking at a different one, but they were number five going into this matchup against Southeastern. It was a 1-1 draw, but it was also dealing with a little bit of the heat. It was at a 1 p.m. kick. You're dealing with the dead of heat in Georgia at that rate. Yeah. So you're dealing with that, but I mean, I'll tell you what, if you get the chance to check it out, it's on the Grizzly Digital Network on YouTube. If you want to check out those matches for the men's side and the women's side, but the men's side, ooh, Steve DeCoux has that team running. They are a fun team to watch, guys. I'm so serious. Like, they are fun, and I'm excited to see them continue to build the rest of the season. They had two really strong performances, 10 goals, now 11, start of the season, only three matches in. And so I think you're going to continue to see that team grow. And same thing on the women's side. Right now in NAIA, they're currently ranked 22nd. Mm-hmm. So, again, you got two really top programs at the NAIA level here in Georgia also getting things done and pushing it. And it's going to be a fun season of soccer.
Yeah, I mean, everything in between. D2, North Georgia, their women's team is very, very strong. They're a ranked team right now. Clayton State on the men's side, a lot of turnover with Clayton State, but they're a perennial power in the Peach Belt. Columbus State, you go a little bit further south, that's always a strong team in the Peach Belt on the D2 side. D3, Emory went to the Final Four in both men's and women's last year. Both are highly ranked coming into the season as the D3s get started this week. You just have so many different games you can watch all over the state. So coming up this week, we already mentioned Georgia and Florida State. That's on Thursday. Also on Thursday here in Atlanta, Georgia State women host East Tennessee. That's a 7 o'clock kick. Georgia State's men, they on Saturday will be on the road at Presbyterian. They play Lipscomb in their next match. That's tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. You can watch that on ESPN+. Georgia State undefeated so far on the road this season. A tough draw for them at West Florida on Sunday. They beat UAB, who beat Mercer last night. This is a Georgia State team that I think you're seeing a lot of fresh faces. But if you, and we've talked about it with Atlanta United too, if you're paying attention to the players that Atlanta United produces, you're going to find them in a lot of these programs on the men's side. We saw some at Mercer. Pavel Romero is one to watch at Georgia State, a player who I think has a pro career ahead of him. I think there's other players in that Georgia State team that do as well. They've also got some really interesting internationals. I'm excited to see Georgia State's men and women back in action here really soon. And look, on the women's side, Georgia is a team you got to watch. In the SEC coming in, Vanderbilt was seen as the number one team coming into the season. I think they've lived up to that. Arkansas was number two for everybody, and it's been a slow start for them. It feels like Georgia is right there, and it's an early season, what, next week, where they play Vandy in a real measuring stick kind of match.
That's where I think you're going to see this team, I think, really break through. Obviously, when you look at everything else, I think these are two really big tests. Florida State, obviously, not in conference, but still a top opponent. I mean, this is a team that you could see in the College Cup at the end of the season. And so this is a challenge, and it's going to be a good test for this side and for Kidani McAlpine's side to see where things stand, especially before you get ready for that top battle in the SEC against Vanderbilt. I think, honestly, I feel like we look at this and yeah, it's going to be two really difficult matches, but I think it's going to be two matches that are really going to test you and I think are going to help you as well as you get ready for the SEC. And again, you started with Vanderbilt, but you know what they say, go big or go home, right?
Yeah, I'd rather see the toughest one first and then you can learn from it and then you get to hopefully see them again in the conference tournament. Really looking forward to all of these games. Maddie will be talking about them on SDH. We'll be talking about them here on AST all season long. But I will bid you adieu for the rest of the evening.
Absolutely. Have fun.
Yep, got the 343 coming up next. It's brought to you by Ford. Our good friends at Ford will bring you three local stories, four headlines, and three things that make me smile about this game. All coming up next on AST on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Outdated automation doesn't have to slow you down. Graybar helps you identify risks, modernize strategically, and minimize disruption every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped the video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
Think about how much life has changed since 1991. Back then, you had to rewind the VHS tapes. Dial-up internet was a distant dream, and listening to your favorite hosts on demand wasn't even an option. Yet through all that change, Bob's Discount Furniture has kept doing things the Bob's way, offering incredible quality and modern features without inflating their prices. Look at the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa. It packs genuine leather, Bobapedic seating, built-in charging, and handy cup holders all into one setup for just $12.99. For dinner parties, the Homeworks dining set brings clever storage in both the table and bench, keeping your space organized and guests comfy for only $6.99. Plus, their best-selling Cascade bedroom set brings sophisticated reeded details, felt-lined drawers, and convenient USB ports in three stunning finishes. It's proof that top-tier style doesn't need a sky-high price tag. Stop in or shop online at mybobs.com to celebrate 35 years of top-rated style at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
And now we end the night with a bit of structure.
Shot,
let's get the formation set. It's the 3-4-3 on Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
It's time for the 3-4-3. It's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealers. This is how we close out every edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Three local stories, four headlines from all over the world, and three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Let's start on the local side. Number one, Atlanta United 2. They won their first shootout of the season. MLS Next Pro, whenever there's a draw in regular season play, there is a post-game shootout, and the winner of the shootout gets a bonus point. That might not sound like much, but when you're looking at this MLS Next Pro standings right now, as Atlanta United 2 is chasing their first ever playoff appearance, this team is not being built to go win next pro championships. It's built to produce players for the first team, but you'd like to win games along the way. And this team this year, first double-digit win season, they're in sixth place in the Eastern Conference. Every point is critical because right now, with three games to play, one at home for Atlanta United 2, they are 3 points out of third. They are also 4 points out of missing the playoffs entirely. It's that crowded. So coming back on the road in Fort Lauderdale against Inter Miami 2, yes, they do still play in Fort Lauderdale. Coming back to win or to win the shootout, to draw that with a goal in the second half, Cameron Dunbar set it up, his 11th assist of the season, Patrick Weah with the goal, and then winning the shootout that went seven rounds, Jonathan Ransom made two saves in that shootout. That point was big because it gives Atlanta just a little bit more of a cushion to get into the postseason. The postseason model in MLS Next Pro is the same as MLS, where eight plays nine in a play-in game, and then it's one through the winner of that. The twist is in Next Pro, the teams that are your top four that would be seeded in this, they get to choose their opponent in descending order. So Crown Legacy right now is in first place. They would get to choose if they want to play the weakest team or if they just feel like they have a better matchup against five or six or seven or even higher if they're crazy. So it creates a little interesting wrinkle, but Atlanta's got to get in the door first for that. And Atlanta United 2 is in position now, but they've got to close this out. They host Connecticut next Tuesday at 2:00. And then two games on the road at Chattanooga and at Orlando. Number two on the local side of things, tomorrow night, it's one of my favorite things I get to do with Atlanta United. Mike Conte and I will be part of the Atlanta United Academy dinner. This is what they do to kick off every season. And it's always just a really cool moment to see guys that will eventually make it to Mercedes-Benz Stadium and play there. Get to see the new academy players that are joining for the first time, whether they're joining at the youngest age group at U12 or they are coming into the academy at an older age. Also getting to see them interact with guys like Jay Fortune, who came to the academy and are now established pros and just renewed his contract, Jay Fortune. So it's always a really cool event. It's how they start every season. And this is going to be season 11 for the Atlanta United Academy. And number three on the local side, much more to come on this over at soccerdownhere.net, but it's a national story. It does affect things here locally, although the effect won't be huge straight away. You might have seen the news. U.S. Soccer is now going to bring U.S. Youth Soccer, the organization, USYS, into the federation. They never have been. They've always been separate. They basically started as a separate entity back in 1974. And right now, I mean, you're talking about an organization that serves 2.5 to 2.7 million youth players every year. They've always been able to operate on their own. And that's where your state associations come into play. They are members of USYS. Now, all of that will run under the U.S. Soccer Federation. And you're starting to see more consolidation amongst all of the different acronyms at times. And a lot of the talk about it went one way, and it went to pay to play. And look, that's part of the conversation about all this. But there's a bigger one to me and a more important one, which is increasing access, which is a different conversation than pay to play. Pay to play, I think, has become something that is very hard to unspool. And maybe that's why it keeps being used and talked about, because it's kind of like the boogeyman. Yes, it exists in a way in this and pay to play, but it's not an opponent you can easily defeat. So you can always yell about it, right? Access is something that you can always work to improve. And that's something that Georgia Soccer will do, and also U.S. Soccer across the board. It's underway, this new bringing everything under one umbrella. It is underway as of today. You're not going to see any massive changes for your youth players in the state of Georgia this year. it's going to take time. So have patience in how this goes. But I really like that the U.S. Soccer Federation is getting involved in these areas that now it will have a greater way to influence. That maybe in the past, it could ask, it could request, it could try to influence and try to make a case to. Now, it can actually do some governance on it. And I'm excited to see where all of this goes. I'll have a piece over at soccerdownhere.net coming up very, very soon about this. Headlines, four of them. And we're going to focus on the transfer window that closed in Europe today across the major leagues. Four big headlines from that. Number one, announced just a couple of hours ago, Enzo Fernandez, the Argentine international midfielder, has gone to Manchester City. A joint British transfer record fee, £125 million to Chelsea from Manchester City for Enzo Fernandez. And this was one that looked like it was going to happen. Then for a while, it looked like it wasn't. His former manager at Chelsea, Enzo Maresca, who is now at City, he was very unhappy when Maresca left Chelsea last year. He said he wanted to leave the club. Talked about it a little bit during the World Cup. He is going to leave now after a kind of long back and forth. So I'm intrigued to see it. I think Manchester City needed this little bit of a boost, and I think Maresca will get a lot of great play out of Enzo Fernandez. Number two, a deal that did not get done, and I'm sure we're going to get all of the details on this one pretty soon. Valerian Balogun was headed to Everton, was at Everton to do a medical. Something came up on the medical that Everton did not like. It looked like the deal was not going to happen. Then, with an hour left in the window before it closed, it looked like it was going to happen. New terms were submitted. Everton probably did not want to pay the same fee for somebody that they said had an issue. And ultimately, Balogun pulled out of the deal and said he didn't want to go to Everton anymore and left the training ground without the deal happening. So, fascinated because Monaco, where Balogun now still plays, had already signed a new forward, and that deal got done. Monaco didn't qualify for the Champions League, and they needed to sell, and they had two deals fall apart at the very end. I don't know where they're going to be financially now, and I don't know where Balogun's going to be in terms of playing time, because Monaco added another player. Frustrating situation for the U.S. men's national team, for sure. Number three, another frustrating situation, Julian Alvarez. Not sold. He is going to stay at Atletico Madrid. This was one that dragged on through the end of last season, dragged on through the World Cup. There was a lot of politics in this with Atleti, with Barcelona, with Real Madrid. Arsenal tried to get involved. Alvarez did not want to go back to the Premier League. He wanted to go to Barcelona. Atleti did not want to sell him to Barcelona. There was a lot of tabloid-esque kinds of things going on in this, and reportedly a lot of hard feelings in this on both sides. I don't know how this is going to go, him going back to Atleti. The only thing you can hope for if you're an Atleti fan is Antoine Griezmann left Atleti, went to Barcelona, realized that it wasn't the right spot for him. He didn't really fit in there. Wasn't going to play as much as maybe he had thought he would. He wanted to go back to Atleti. He was seen as a traitor when he left. He went back to Atleti, said he made a mistake, put his head down, and played extremely well, and left before he came to Orlando as a hero. Can Julian Alvarez do that? Does he want to do that is maybe the bigger question. We're going to find out over time. Atleti needs him to do that for sure. And number four on the headlines, the Premier League. Clubs have collectively spent £3.198 billion this summer, destroying the previous all-time record that was set just a year ago. Clubs have now spent almost three times the £1.13 billion that they spent just 5 years ago. That number is probably still going to go up with the Enzo Fernandez deal that needs to get added to the tally, which was £125 million. Some others that needed to get added to the tally if all the paperwork got in time. Four of the 11 most expensive signings in the history of the sport have happened this summer, three of them involving Premier League clubs. Chelsea signing Morgan Rodgers for £117 million, City paying £116 million for Elliot Anderson, Liverpool spending an initial £106 million on Bradley Barcola from PSG, and the Enzo Fernandez one. The only non-Premier League deal of these expensive signings this year was Real Madrid signing Yan Diamante. So Premier League clubs are also increasingly buying from one another. 38% of deals involved a fee between two Premier League sides this year. Tottenham spent a lot of money. Sandro Tonali from Newcastle, Mateus Fernandes from West Ham, Savio from Manchester City. Over £250 million spent by Tottenham to Premier League clubs that were then able to go spend and better their teams. And Tottenham has not gotten much of a return for all of that spend as of yet. It's still early, just a few weeks in. All right, three things that make me smile. I'm not seeing any of that money, so I'm not smiling about that. But number one, I am smiling about something we talked about in the first segment, Enzo Dovolo's MLS debut. A player that was very good at UNC Greensboro in college, came out of the Strasbourg Academy from France. And I think what's been cool to watch with him with Atlanta United 2 this season is how he's gotten not just better in terms of individual play, but I think how much smarter he's gotten as a player this season. He's become a guy who can play as a winger, can play as a 10, can play as a wing back. I thought he came in and looked like he absolutely belonged with the first team. His 1v1 ability is something that can break games open. So I hope we get to see more Enzo Dovolo with Atlanta United's first team. He's earned it. He's had a great season in MLS Next Pro for Atlanta United, too. And number two, another player who was on the bench on Saturday did not get into the match, Andrew Jardines. I had a chance to chat with him today for an upcoming feature. He just signed his Atlanta United 2 contract not that long ago, came through the academy, was a late signing to the academy, joined them at the U18 level. He described the weekend with the first team as a crazy experience. It was his first time around the group for a match. He's trained with them at times this season, but honestly, really mostly just recently. He kind of followed Enzo and other Adrian Gill and guys that he knew from the twos and kind of followed them in the stadium and everything he needed to do. He talked about fitting in with the twos. He said it's been really easy. The teammates have been really good to him and they've had a lot of confidence in him. And he's a ball player. He's so good on the ball. He's a guy that you're going to want to follow, Andrew Jardines. And number three, I mean, I'll just reiterate what we talked about with Lionel Messi. The farewell letter, go read it. All the highlights of his times with Argentina, go back and watch them. He said it was a decision that hurt. It still hurts deep down, but the time has come. All-time Argentina leader in caps, all-time Argentina leader in goals, all-time Argentina leader in assists, World Cup appearances, trophies, all the things. All the things. We might not ever see a player at a national team do what Lionel Messi has done for Argentina. We might not ever see it again. Don't be sad that it's over. Really go back and look at it and enjoy that we had a chance to witness it. And we got a chance to see his final great moments with Argentina here in our building at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We'll always have those memories. Hopefully, we won't have any more memories of Lionel Messi scoring against Atlanta United. He will get a chance to do that on Saturday night. Atlanta at Miami, Saturday night. Pregame coverage starts at 6:30, kickoff at 7:40 with Mike Conti and I. Y'all have a good rest of your week. We'll be talking this weekend. Adios, everybody.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
Data centers move fast. Graybar delivers the power, connectivity, and critical infrastructure you need with nationwide inventory and logistics to keep projects moving. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, our ride's almost here. Are you ready?
Just grabbing my shoes.
That's what you said 10 minutes ago.
I just wrapped a video call, uploading this giant file on my tablet, looking at my watch go bananas with the group chat, and, of course, still lining up tonight's playlist on my phone.
All at once?
Yep, story of my life. That's why I switched to T-Mobile. They have the fastest 5G network.
Okay, multitasker. I see you.
Honestly, I never imagined I could do all this at once. It's awesome.
Say no more. I'm totally switching. My post is taking way too long to upload.
That's a sign. You've got to get T-Mobile.
So many reasons to join T-Mobile. Find yours at T-Mobile.com.
Fastest based on analysis by Ookla speed test intelligence data of national speed score results incorporating 5G download and upload speeds for the first half of 2026.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, how will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money, and most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.